Does Kawhi Leonard want to play basketball? Notice nobody is jumping in with a quick yes on that, right?
Well, this is one, like, I don't have an opinion because I don't follow him or the team close enough to, I mean, I would just say, you know, he's an ultra competitor who's proven his worth. So I have a hard time believing he doesn't, but he probably wants to do it on terms that are, you know, that he's comfortable with.
Yeah. Someone came to me yesterday or 2 days ago and told me that the new guy is going to be the greatest basketball player that ever played in the NBA.
Victor Wimby.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
And I said, I've heard this many times in the past. I've heard this from Ralph, and I went to them and I spoke specifically about Ralph Sampson. And I said, if you go back and look in 83, 84, 85, Sports Illustrated will say, this is in 6 years, Ralph Sampson is going to be the greatest player that I've ever played in the NBA. And Ralph was a different dude. He was a unicorn at the time. He could handle the ball from the center position. He was 7'4". He ran. He could move. He could shoot from the perimeter. He could shoot the fadeaway. He could pass. He could, and injuries slowed down whatever progression he wanted. I mean, his body just couldn't do it. I'm not sure, and I'm saying this to correlate. I don't know what Kawhi's been through, but if the injuries are what has happened to, like, other people in the past, he may want to, and Dwayne Wade spoke on this. They still understood how to play the game, but their bodies just would never let them play at that ability again. And I'm not sure if Kawhi, he's been through a lot of injuries. I just don't know if his body can do what it is that his mind wants him to do. I mean, I say that the reason why LeBron is so great, and the reason why we talk about guys like that being the greatest of all time, is they've been able to do it for a long period of time at a high level. Brady or whoever else you want to say, for that long. So Kawhi might have just been another guy like a Grant Hill or whoever you go, you know, Anthony Hardaway or whatever. These guys are phenomenal. If they could have played 20 years, we may be talking about them over the Kobe Bryants or the, you know, whatever. But because Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan and LeBron James and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar were able to play for so long at such a high level, you know, maybe those other guys were just chapters. You know, they 3 or 4 or 5 year window. Like Gilbert Arenas was incredible for, 4 years. Tracy McGrady had a good run, but none of those guys could do it for 15, 16. Now, look, LeBron, 21 years. So I'm just saying that Kawhi might want to be better. I don't want to question his – he was great. He had great competitive nature. He just might not be that guy anymore because his body doesn't allow him to be.
Yeah, and I'm not saying this as if he's dogging it. I'm just wondering, like, as you said, like having to go through all of those injuries and then go through all of the rehabs and have to like fire it up only to get hurt again and then be criticized. Like, I don't know if he wants to play basketball anymore because of what comes with it. It might not even necessarily be, I can't physically do it. He might not be physically, well, he's definitely not physically what he was, right? Nobody can be when you go through all those injuries. But like having to deal with all of the ish that you have to deal with, being paid at the level he's being paid at, I just don't know if he's ready to fire that up and go, yo, I wanna sign up for this for 80, you know, for 80 something games, because he hasn't played 80 something games in God knows how long. I don't know if he's ever actually played 80 something games. So like,
yeah,
it's interesting because, and the reason I bring this up is because there is this pushback on load management, right? The idea of load management and the NBA really trying to get away from players taking all of this time off, players playing 50-something games instead of 80-something games.
They want the money.
Yeah, they want their product. They want their product to show up and be present because they're paying them more than they've ever been paid before to be the product. Like it's interesting. I was thinking about this. There's two different things going on in sports, right? There are the people who are trying to win championships, which says I probably shouldn't put 82 games on my body and then go out there and try to go through the rigors of playoffs. And then there's people who said, yo, they show up when you put on these sneakers and come out here and they spend a lot of money. So I need you out here for as many of these 82 games as possible. They don't coincide with each other because not most of these teams are not in it to win championships. There's only like a handful.
Well, I mean, I agree with you that there's a dichotomy there. There's a conflict between entertainment and competitive sport, you know, and the reality is it's first and foremost entertainment. But through the lens of the highest level of competitive sports. So there's a rub there, and that's what they're trying to figure out, I guess, which, you know, it's a different rub, I think, than pro football. And obviously you get into the contracts and the basis for all those and all that sort of stuff. But like football just, it doesn't allow you, like, even, you know, to have it both ways. You know, like football, you can't sit that guy, you know, too many guys, too many games, or you're on the outside looking in. Whereas in basketball or many other sports, maybe you can sit guys from a competitive standpoint. So we've talked about it a little bit before. I agree. There's a rub, and I lean on the competitive side. Like, hey, I look at it first as competitive sports. So what a team decides to do or what players decide to do, I tend to lean that way. But I get it from a league perspective, you know, that not everyone's going to take it so well when you pay top dollar to go to games and you know, you don't see the guys you want to see play.
Yeah, Victor. So Victor Wembanyama, I think he's. So this is interesting, right? Is he, without trying to compare him to someone, I just have to say he's going to be one of two guys. And if he's one of those two guys, he can't be the greatest of all time, right? He's either going to be some machination of Giannis or some machination of Kevin Durant.
Well, hey, here's I wanted two things. I got a question for Tom, which is, you know, if Ralph is around today, is Ralph a guy saying, God dang, I was, you know, 30 years too early, 40 years too early? You know, so does Ralph's career trajectory go any different if he comes up in today's game, the way it's played? That's number one. And then number two, though, is there a possibility, Gene, that he's another version of Magic? Can you put him on that list too?
My bias says no.
Okay. Right. Well, my magic taking your bias says out. No. I mean, since it's, you know, again, you can never say, like, hey, players' talents, in my opinion, great talents are unique. So and you got to be careful anytime you compare them because, right? But the way the game's played today, he is the ultimate versatile, you know, guy on the surface, minus strength at this point, right?
Yeah.
So I'm saying he combines some of all of those people. You know, he's Giannis with a jump shot. He's Durant, you know, boom, boom. He's, you know, he's Ralph size.
One of the things that I think is going to hold him back from being Magic-like, and it's not that Magic was the greatest ball handler in the world, because he definitely wasn't, but he understood how to use his body within the ball handling to set people up. Right.
He was a pretty good passer.
Well, I'm just saying, like, as far as the ball handling part.
Right.
Right. I think that being as tall as Wemby is probably going to be a detriment to the ball handling. Like, you can't get low enough. Like, it's part of what's catching up with Kevin Durant, right? Like, as age hits him and injury hits him, that first step blow by, because I'm like an alien and my first step is like two of someone's regular steps, and I don't have to have as quick of a move because I just take up more stride. Like, I don't know if he's going to find a lot more guys who can check him than I believe people are giving the NBA credit for. Like, there's going to be a lot more guys that are like, yo, if he wants to sit out here and be Magic Johnson, great. Like, go ahead. We'll check you out there with our 6 foot, 9'10", versatile wing 3-and-D type of dude that just seems to be percolating all around the NBA now.
Well, what I heard, and then I'll shut up for a bit, but what I heard, I don't think it was Scalabrine, but what I heard people saying that I thought was right is that the first thing San Antonio, or the first thing the NBA was going to teach Wemby, right, was that with X matchup, you get to the lower post, mid post area, and you go to work, and it's not about that stuff, right? But then now when you're checked by the bigger guy you're talking about, now you stretch him out. And that does have a lot to do with the way the game's being played today. You know, the spacing and then the advantages of mismatches, et cetera. And then where you try to take advantage of those cross matches, if you will. So I'm saying, you know, that's just part of the learning curve. So I'm not suggesting he's going to be mad. I'm just suggesting when he needs to be Magic, he's a little bit of Magic. When he needs to be Giannis, he's got a little something there. When he needs to be Kareem, he goes down into the post and he gives us a little Kareem.
See, it's funny. I would say that about Jokic. I think Jokic is a lot like all of the things that you said. He's got a lot of Magic in him. He's got a lot of that. I can be down here and I'm bullying you here, bullying you there, and then all of a sudden I see it, you don't see it, I just throw that thing out there because I'm tall and my arm is like a go-go gadget arm, and it just goes over there. Let's bring it full circle with this, because I like this Wemby thought process, right? And Fran Fraschilla, who I think does a really good job of getting out and seeing like talent early.
His son coaches at Harvard, by the way. Another plug.
What's that?
His son coaches at Harvard.
For Schiller's coach? His son coaches at Harvard? I didn't know that. Huh. I like it. He does a good job of seeing talent early and like projecting talent beyond what they are right now. Because some of the people that they have ranked high, I've watched play a lot of basketball and they're not that good right now. Right, you know, but then they end up becoming better. There's a talent there. If as developers, right, if you got Wemby in your hands today, what's the first thing you're trying to help him get better at? And either one of you, both of you,
maybe I'll say this. I mean, I'm going to say this, then Tom, you jump in. But I'm just going to go old school on the first part of the answer and just say number one for any big is just strength and condition. So, like, the first thing is just agility, strength, all of those things that have nothing to do with a basketball move per se. So that's the, you know, first thing. I love what Tom said to start when he was talking about just reps and how simple. People would be surprised how simple, because that's what I always tell people. That's the secret sauce of all the good college guys. Like, they take stuff that people like me or your average high school coaches or something like that, you know, they take this stuff that we might try to make more than it is, and they just freaking boil it down to its simplest part and just do it. Okay. And so I think to that end, the first step with Wemby is, okay, what do we need his frame to look like? How's his body need to move? And how's the mobility, functionality, all the things that today's world, there's people that are so good at. So that's step one. I'll leave the rest of it to Tom here.
Yeah, so now I'm going to answer your question about what Ralph would look like today. And I think if Ralph had the athletes are so much better today because of nutrition and constant work on their bodies at a younger age. You'll be able to actually, he'll be actually able to play a longer career, in my opinion, a Ralph Sampson. And he would have fit into this day and age much better because of technology and what we know more about our bodies and how they move. The way he was moving back then, he was too early to be carrying that frame in those shoes, the shoes they were wearing, the pounding they were taking, and how we were treating our bodies. So if I got Wemby, I would agree with you. First, we would be trying to how we can hold up to play 82 games and playoffs. How could we be able to deal with that night in, night out with the travel? What we need to be doing out, not partying and not burning the candle on both ends, and trying to make it so that we're able to get through this long season and deal with that. That would be, to me, the most important part. He has every other skill that's possible to be great at basketball. He doesn't need any of us to sit down with him and say we're going to make his jump shot better. That's going to get better because he's looks like he's on that trajectory already. His ability to handle the ball looks like it's enough to get to where he needs to get to in spots already. That's just going to get better as he's around the people that we have in our organization. So the thing you got to worry about is how he's going to hold up. And that's what I was my concern is, does he going to – Kristaps Porzingis is another one. How do we allow those guys to play, I don't know, 71 games, 70 games of the 82-game schedule so that they're – prepared and ready to play in the playoffs and give us the best chance to win. Wanyama is a different, this is a different thing. This is what I would create in a video game if I was trying to be special. I would create a 7'4" guy that could shoot, dribble, run by everybody, jump over everybody and post up. That's what I would be trying to create. I think technology and what these guys are doing and what they're going to be able to do and understand bodies and movements and strength in different places that we never could imagine is going to give him the best chance possible, hopefully, to be one of the greats. I told you, to be great, you have to play a long time at a high level. If it's short, we will say he was great for his period of time, Baron Davis or whoever we can go on and name so many people that were phenomenal for a period of time. But if I'm developing I am trying to get him to be able to play multiple years at a high level, 10, 12, 13 years, so we can go back and say he's one of the greatest of all time. But it won't happen if he's only able to play 5 or 6 or 7 years at a high level. It just won't be said. And if I have a kid like him, I'm trying to get him so he can play and be that good for that long.
Yeah, and that might be the magic trick, right? Because when have we ever seen it happen? Like, for those freakishly, you know, big and athletic guys outside of possibly – Kevin Durant, like,
well, Kevin Durant plays the game not using his freakish ability is to create space and get shots off. Like, he's he is really, like you said about him getting hurt. I think that he doesn't He only has to take a step to get to a space and then elevate at his 7 foot frame and knock down shots. I don't see that getting. I've gotten older. I can still shoot. I don't think that goes away. I mean, as long as he's not dealing with. I mean, even he came back from his injury and he was right back doing what he came back. He's one of the few players that doesn't rely on extreme athleticism to play the offensive game. He has a bag that is unique because he's just getting the spots. I mean, the dude only takes – look at his threes. What, he takes a couple a game? It's not like he takes a lot of threes. He takes a lot of mid-range pull-up jump shots that we all say we shouldn't shoot in today's basketball game. But he gets to his spots, and he's effective, and he's efficient. And so I think he plays a long time as long as he doesn't have a career-ending injury.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's already played a long time. Like, low-key – he's already been out here doing it for what, 16 years, something crazy like that. So that's what I'm saying. Like,
when y'all must
make a great point.
When y'all was got to be able to put together a 15-year career at a high level and or longer, and then we can start putting him in a category of one of the greatest of all times. If he doesn't do that, he's just another freak who was great. Come along every once in a while, we get those. And then we move on into the next one. Like we would literally move on. And that's why I'm saying if I'm developing, my goal is I get a kid like him. We're trying to make Hall of Fame greatest of all time type of kid. So we're worried about how he holds up. We're not worried about his ability to play the game. He can play the game. He's gonna be able to score. He's gonna average 25 in his sleep if we get him to grow up and learn the game and can take care of his body. But you know, the outside world is still the outside world and I don't know what – you don't know what his vices are. You know, Kobe didn't have those vices. Kobe's vice was to be up 4 a.m. and sleeping at 12 and waking up at 4 and playing basketball. That was his vice until, you know, not everybody has that in them. Not all the greats have that in them. They could have it. Let's look who's the kid that played for Denver all those years? Jason Smith.
You talking about J.R. Smith?
J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
Come on. J.R. Smith jumped higher than Kobe. J.R. Smith shot the ball great. J.R. Smith had the same – I mean, he was the same size. He just didn't have that thing that you need to be great that Kobe has. It's incredible. So Jordan had it. LeBron has it. You know, and I'm talking about the ability to take care of your body and come back and compete and play day in and day out, year in and year out, over and over again. People think greatness is with your ability. Greatness is to be able to show up constantly over and over again. And that's what I go back to the beginning when I started this. That is how you become great. That's how you develop. You get people that can do that every day. The simple thing. We do a simple crossover to a pull-up. Simple crossover to a pull-up. Simple crossover to a pull-up, simple crossover to a pull-up. And as you stack it, all of a sudden it becomes a simple cross to an in-out to a pull-up. Like it just, we're not doing nothing but simple movements over and over and over again. And these guys, and showing up every day, working hard every day and doing that more than anyone else is the secret.
All right, I want to get y'all out of here on this. I know we're over and Wit, when we go over an hour, Wit gets a little bit antsy.
I'm a billion years old. My bedtime might be a smidge earlier than what you got. And I'm going to say, like, I feel like you're preaching tonight. I feel like I'm getting my church session with you, like, up above on this little thing. I don't know if this is a spicy thing.
For you guys who can't see, I'm, like, at home in my chair on my Talk Spicy set, even though... like, we're just hanging out. And normally, I have cameras set up that are at angle. But, like, I have the computer set up. And so they can see me, but they're seeing me from, like, below. Yeah. Like, it's set below me. So it's like looking up at me like I'm Tom Cruise. It's great.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, though. Just before you close up, I wanted to say, pre-show, we were talking about a little bit of Knepsack stuff. So I hope Tom, I mean, this has been a lot of fun, obviously. So I hope maybe down the line, a few months, you come back on and we can do the whole college and pro scene, but then we'll jump into Knepsack a little bit.
Definitely going to have you back on. We want to get more coaches from the Knepsack on, but only the cool ones.
No, we don't.
Only the cool ones that want to give like real legitimate answers. We don't need no like, coach speak. We don't need you to give the like politically correct coach speak answer around here. We already know those answers. So I want to get you guys out of here on that, on this. There was a little exercise that was done, right? Because it's looking like the U.S. is shaping up to take a legitimate, legitimate star-driven team to the Olympics, right? And so there was this exercise. I want you guys to rate these centers because we know that they've talked about Embiid going, but they're going to need more than just Embiid as a center, right? So I want you to rate these centers as who you would take to go to the Olympics and rate them in order. But here's the catch. I'm going to name them, and you have to rate them without knowing the other names I'm going to say. All right?
Okay.
So it's going to be five centers I'm going to name, and you have to rate them from one through five, and you have to put them in the order you think they should go without knowing what comes next.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to do about as well as I did in Algebra 2 in high school. It feels like a math problem.
All right, so first name, Walker Kessler.
I'm gonna put him five.
I'm putting him five as well.
Okay, Walker Kessler is five. Draymond Green.
You said center, so we're calling him a center.
Well, because he played center in the Olympics. Okay. The last Olympic, he was the center.
I'm gonna
put Walker Kessler, by the way, was on the FIBA team.
Oh, I'll go first this time, just so it doesn't seem like I'm tail-ending, which in our house, but with my wife, you know, we have this thing where if someone orders something out at a restaurant, you're not allowed to, like, order what they just ordered. Like, you gotta stand on your own 2 feet. Oh, I like that. I'll get that. You can't do it. Yeah. So just in fairness, because I feel like we were going to say the same number again, I'm going to say Draymond 3. And I bet I'm between 2 and 3, by the way, too.
Yeah, I'm gonna say me and you think a lot. I was gonna say I'm gonna go 2.
Okay. Next name, Mason Plumlee.
Oh Jesus. Go ahead. Your turn.
I'm gonna put Mason at 4.
Same.
Okay. Brooke Lopez.
I'm gonna put Brooke at 3.
And I'll go 2.
Okay, so that means both of you left number 1 open, right?
Yeah.
Chet Holmgren is your number 1 center.
Hey, let's go.
You know what? I don't hate that. I'll ride with Chet.
I don't hate that either.
I like that as a backup to Embiid.
As a backup to Embiid, you'll roll with Chet Holmgren?
I'm good with that. I'm actually good with that.
So here's the funny part. Everybody who's done this, they all end up with Chet Holmgren as their number 1 because nobody can believe the names that have came before them. Like, no one would put them number 1. Now that you've heard all 5 names, what would you rearrange?
I actually like my list.
Yeah, I might put Draymond. I might change my 2-3.
Are you still Kessler 5?
Yeah, I would. Yes. I might consider moving Brooke with experience to 1 and Chet to 2 if I really thought that experience. But I like the list too.
I know what the other players on the team are like, and I just think that Chet. I like it. I like having Draymond.
Chet more like a stretch guy.
Yeah. I think that we're playing international basketball, and again, we need those guys that can stretch the floor and play out there and play in space. And he can play out there and play in space. I mean,
so when I originally did this, like, I wasn't as high on Walker Kessler, and then I went back and started like watching some Walker Kessler highlights. He's got some game to him. I still think he's developing, But I think he gives you a little bit more of both worlds, like a guy who can be a legitimate, like, big inside, but does have an ability to kind of step out and hit some shots, just not at the level of Chet Holmgren. My only problem with Draymond Green is Draymond Green doesn't hit shots regularly. Like, he's just not a shot maker.
Yeah, but what he can do is he can defend, and he can play with the ball in his hands to get the ball to other guys. He's spent his entire career getting the ball to Steph Curry.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't need him. I don't need everybody on the team to need to shoot the ball.
Yep.
That's true.
Some people I need to be able to learn how to really get the ball and then irritate the other team. And Draymond knows
how to. He's definitely going to do that.
Yeah, and you need a guy like a Charles Barkley back in the day or someone that's going to be the irritant.
Yeah, although Barkley was a killer, so I don't want to put
Draymond. I'm just talking. On Barkley I understand. Level. I'm just talking about.
I know they have their little thing where they go back and forth. Hey, Draymond, stop it. Barkley. Oh,
not Barkley. He's not Barkley.
No, Barkley would murder you, dude.
We're not talking about Barkley. But Draymond Draymond has how many rings? Five? Four?
Yeah, yeah.
And
he's got legitimate rings.
How many does Barkley have?
Zero.
So?
Zero.
To me, it's not like Barkley didn't have great players around him. He had a great team in Houston.
Yeah, I mean, are we forgetting the elephant in the room, though?
We know who the dude is. I understand. You know,
hey, come on.
I get it, but
come on.
Just saying.
All right. Yeah, you know.
Or that Phoenix, wherever the hell he was playing, whatever Charles was playing.
It was Phoenix.
Yeah, Phoenix.
It was Phoenix where he had a good whip.
He had a
that
good
was team. The year. That was the year. If they were gonna get it done, that was the year they were gonna get it done. He was MVP that year, if I'm not mistaken. He's one of my favorite players of all time.
I love Charles Barkley. I used to wear his shoes. Like I was, you know.
Yeah, which is crazy because them things weighed a lot. But I used to rock those in the Chris Webbers. They didn't
make those shoes a billion years ago.
This is very true.
I was wearing
Canada. Pro Kids. How did Pro Kids feel? To play
$6 Converse canvas Converse.
Did Chuck you ever Taylor's. Play in ponies like the basketball ponies?
I played in Chuck Taylor's and then I played in Adidas Superstars.
Yeah,
low
I never, know that, as my kids say.
That must have felt better going to the Adidas Superstars
That was a different world. That was a step up.
Yo. I still just I know we're supposed to be grabbing, but I still cannot believe that people actually play basketball in Chuck Taylor's.
I can't either.
Like they are the most uncomfortable shoe to try to do anything athletic in.
Well, you know what they tell you, if you want to learn how to play golf, you golf in bare feet, you know, and because it gives you a feel. So, you know, if you want to No, you know, they say basketball skills start from the ground up, like every other sport. So, you know, they're basically like wearing nothing at all. So.
Yeah. No, I.
You didn't.
You were dunking in Chuck Taylor's?
I was.
Wow.
I was. Hey, I was. Two-hand, what do they call it? The back scratcher.
The back scratcher.
Yeah, it was my signature move.
I like it. I think Whit Duncan in Chucks might be like the best pitcher ever. Can we get one of those pictures and post it on social media?
If I had a picture, I would put that on my wall and leave it up there.
Yo, Whit in the Chuck Taylors hitting the back tap on the dunk. Just I like it. In fairness, I have I did dunk in a pair of dress shoes once, like as a dare, and my feet hurt for like 3 days afterwards. Like it's awful. Like
we're that's soft. Crazy to me. We're soft.
We are soft. We are totally soft. Like all those basketball games, I could have never done it in the Chucks. That's for sure. Tom Nelson, head basketball coach, Bremer and May. You know him, MASH rivals. Everything MASH rivals. Also, and I wanted to talk about to give you a chance to plug this real quick. What you're doing with financial literacy and wanting to get your financial literacy programs running. It's something I think is really awesome. I'll let you talk about it real quick.
Yeah, I wear my stuff everywhere. We got us. And mainly what I'm trying to do is one of the hardest thing is we band-aid a lot of stuff, and especially in my community, growing up as a Black male, we don't have enough literacy around how we take care of our credit, how we take care of building our wealth, how we take care of our investments. And we give a lot of young males, minorities especially, money, and we have no idea how to take care of it. And all we end up doing is giving the money back and becoming consumers. And I'm tired of watching our community become consumers. So I decided that as much as I like teaching basketball, I'm going to teach the young men how to, when they make their money, how to protect it and how to grow it and make their money work for them. So that has been my little mantra going forward. I say we got us because we're the ones that got to take care of us and make sure that we're not just here for, to watch them play a game, but we're here to make sure that they build careers and they know how to deal and protect their money. So if they go overseas or they get in other careers, they understand financial literacy, and we don't, it's a big plague. It'll hopefully, if that was, we'd have better, we lower divorce rates because of big time divorces because of money. We will lower larceny. That's one of the biggest things we have, is robbing other people because we don't have enough of our own. And some of these things that plague us in our communities and in our society, I think that if we could take care of our financial literacy, we could actually reduce some of the things that we have in our society so we can have a better place. So that's been my plight. I love coaching, but I love coaching the young men on and young women on how to raise our, how to protect our money and how to make it work for us.
Absolutely. And a beautiful mission, not a mission that's easy. Not a mission that's cheap. And so if you want to support, please, hit Tom up on all of his socials, follow it. Give him your socials for your Instagram, your Twitter.
Yeah, my Instagram is tnelly21. My X now, not Twitter, but our X is NE Ball Academy. I'm literally, you put in my name and you put in Rivals or you put in Brimmer or you put in something, you're going to find me pop up. And then we got a We Got Us dot. We-got.us.org is my nonprofit that we're working towards. Any amount of money you could do to help, all I'm doing is using money to create platforms so that I can reach more people and create online courses so people can then learn how to, young people can learn how to become financially literate. I teach it in my school. I've gone from teaching statistics and other things to teach a financial algebra, but we're teaching them how, like today we were doing balance sheets and income statements and things of that nature. And I think, and the kids love it. I just want to get to more people in general and show them that it's cool. You know, I show them how to trade. I trade online with them. I trade in front of them in class. I show them how to read technicals and how to read charts and how to read resistance levels, and I could go on and on and on. I mean, I as much as I love basketball, hit me up, help me. I just want to be able to know that when they make some money, they know how to take care of it, and we won't have these issues going down the road. You know, I just want to try to stop band-aiding this problem in our society. And I'll give you this one stat. Most Americans don't have $1,000 to their name. If you ask them for $1,000, they could not give it to you. They don't have it. And to me, that plagues our country. We're too rich of a country that we don't have enough literacy to be able to do that. And we need to understand how to do a better job. And I'm from a poor situation. You know, Gene, where I come from, but I've always been giving. And this is my way of taking it to another level. I gotta show what I've learned, which I had to learn the hard way. Nobody taught me. And now I want to make sure that we teach younger people earlier so that they don't go through the same things I've been through and other people like me have been through.
Absolutely. And we appreciate you, Tom. We're way past our yes. normal hour, but it definitely well worth it. And looking forward to having you back on later in the NEPSAC. Are you guys playing each other this year?
I don't think so.
Okay, cool. That's better. I don't have to like.
I did today get invited to the National Prep Showcase. So that was a big call for me to go down to Albertus Magnus. I'll be there November 19th. It's the first time my little school, we earned an invitation to go down there and play. So I'm kind of excited about that. Again, I have a small school, and for us to go play with the big boys of the New England region and the country, I'm blessed. I'm happy. And people are like, you're going to win. I was like, man, I just go to compete and we'll just go there and showcase what we got and do what we can as a small school. But I'm blessed for that, but we don't actually play this year, I don't think. And, but I'll see Witt out and about. And he always, again, he's one of the, we all know that when we, this whole NEPSAC thing and this Witt used, those teams were ridiculous. With those teams you had were ridiculous, man. And well, I'll never forget watching those and being a fan and knowing that you coached the game the right manner with the right temperament and you're still doing the same thing all these years. So us people like me, I respect those and I always make sure I pay homage to that. And I don't want to disrespect the game because the people before me did a great job of this game, and I'm not gonna shame it in any way.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, Witt's quiet when they start talking about them murderous teams that he used to have back.
They were
those times. I ain't gonna say who was there or something. I ain't gonna talk about
those
the boy that was there when we was on that road.
Oh, them teams were different. That was different.
Yeah, those teams were crazy. And you know what's funny? They were crazy. But there was just a lot of talent around the NEPSAC, like everywhere.
We'll get back on.
It was crazy.
We'll talk about it.
I just figured you were trying to close me out with another reference to being a billion years old. That's what I, you know.
No, I was taking no more shots. No more shots. I have a 2-shot per show limit. I stuck to my 2. I didn't want to go any further. Ladies and gentlemen, Zebra Stripes Podcast. As always, I am Coach Gene Clemens, Coach Witt LeJure. Make sure that you follow us and listen anywhere that you get your DSPs from. Make sure that you're following us, because just hitting the like button's not enough. Go ahead and follow us so that the algorithm shows and puts us into these little categories and makes it, you know, better. And then when we finally do get a sponsor, you know, like Cycle Bar, or what's the sponsor that we're trying to...
Heineken Zero this year.
Yeah, Heineken Zero. You know, like all of that kind of stuff. Like, when we finally do get one, they can be like, oh, yeah, that's the little pod that could. So really do appreciate all of you out there. And be blessed and stay tuned. We're going to have a great interview coming up with Konzo Martin here on our next pod. I'm looking forward to it. I know Coach Witt's looking forward to it, to be able to sit down and chat with Coach Zoe. So until next time, you all
I just appreciate you guys warming me up for it.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey,